Do we really need a reminder that Christ is risen? I have two questions, two subsidiary questions to ask this morning, just to guide our thoughts. Was it really appropriate, a couple of days ago, Friday evening, was it really appropriate to reflect on the death and the passion of Christ in a very focused, intentional way? Was it really appropriate to do that question I'm asking? And the second question is, what's so special and celebratory about the resurrection of Christ from the dead? Just a scripture to focus on briefly. This is 1 Corinthians 15, 1-8, and one verse at the end of the chapter as well. I don't know if it's going to come up on the screen, but it doesn't matter if it doesn't. You may be familiar with this passage. It's all about the resurrection of the dead. I want to remind you, brothers, do we really need reminded about certain things? The Holy Spirit seemed to feel very strongly that there are certain things we must never forget or lose sight of. It's the gospel I preach to you, which you received and which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you what was of first importance, not in the Bible, brackets, that which was not second, third, fourth, or seventh importance, but that which was of first importance, that I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, or Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom were still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me. And the last verse of this chapter says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. That verse comes at the end of a chapter on the resurrection of the dead. The reason why you can keep going, keep laboring, keep involved in world missions, or whatever it is because of all that precedes. Christ died, Christ was buried, Christ rose from the dead. Let's never forget it. But I'm asking a couple of questions this morning. Questions are good to ask. I believe that some questions we don't need to answer. Jesus was an expert. He was asked questions at times, and sometimes he wouldn't answer it. He answered with a question. The devil manipulates through using questions. So do advertisers. But there are some questions we do need to ask, because they're really, really important. I heard about a preacher recently in Aberdeen who, in that city, there was a tragic stabbing in a local school. The preacher had prepared his passage as usual, and it was about, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he struggled in his soul, because the question everyone was asking was, how could a young person be killed in one of our schools? And the approach he took was this. It's not that that question wasn't important, but a more important question is, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Because we live in a desperate, tragic world. And I thought he was courageous in that he showed sensitivity to the questions that were in people's minds, but he directed them to an even more important issue, an important question. It's important to ask the right questions in life. Look at a child. One of the things about children that is evidence of a healthy, growing, developing child is they ask loads of questions. Sometimes it does your head in, especially the why question. I found a way to get my own back. And I'll say to a 5-year-old, what's the second last letter in the alphabet? And they'll say, why? I say, just tell me. Why? Just tell me. Why? Just tell me. But we need to ask the right questions. And I think sometimes we need to answer the right questions not in a superficial way. You've heard of that cartoon years ago. Charlie Brown is walking down the street with a placard, "Jesus is the answer." And behind him, I'm not sure if it's his sister, has another placard, "What is the question?" And you see, sometimes we're very quick to give answers to questions that people aren't yet asking. And sometimes we have to help people ask the right question. Some people here, like myself, are interested in apologetics. But you know, there's a lot of red herrings in apologetics. I remember talking to a colleague of mine many, many years ago, and she had this question, and it was basically along the lines of, there's a lot of good people who are not yet and who are not Christians. How do you explain that? I found it very difficult to answer that question, and I think I maybe got a little bit of wisdom. And I said to her, "I don't know about you, but even when I'm doing good, very often my motives are screwed up." And she said, "You know something? You're absolutely right." And so we need to ask the right questions and not answer them superficially. Here was one of my questions that I think is a right question. Was it appropriate, firstly, to think about Jesus' death, to reflect on it? And here's the thing, as I read this passage, Paul is saying there are certain things are of first importance we must never forget, and we see a few things that God highlights as being extremely important. The main person is Jesus Christ. There's hundreds of people on the earth, there's hundreds of people who've ever lived. There's all kinds of questions about the universe, but the who question is, who is it all about? And it's all about Christ. 1 million years from now, the only thing that will matter is Christ and being rightly related and enjoying what he's done for us through his death and resurrection. One of the most important things about Christ wasn't that he went around doing good, healing people, walking in water, and raising the dead. The most important thing about this Christ is he died for our sins, according to the scriptures. And of course, he was buried, and on the third day, he rose from the dead. The climax of Jesus' life and ministry was his death on the cross. That's amazing to me. There's all kinds of meaning questions and humanity questions that we have about tragedy and about sickness and disease and death and premature death and suffering. I can't answer those questions, but one of the things we can say is that the Son of God died on the cross for sinful humanity. We see the tragedy of the cross. An innocent man, you might say a martyr more than that, dying between not two candlesticks with the latest Hillsong worship in the background, with nice lights, but between two thieves. It was shameful, it was tragic, it was horrifying. We see darkness extreme on the cross, don't we? Did you know that between noon and 3 p.m, when it should be brighter than bright, a darkness came on the earth? It was incredibly dark. It was inappropriately dark. It was shockingly dark. In the cross, we see God's righteousness, God's judgment. We see sin. We see death. We see the scandal of the cross. And we see the wisdom of God. What do you mean, the wisdom of God? Satan thought the cross was his biggest victory. But God knew about the resurrection. Why was it good to intentionally reflect on such matters? Sometimes we are too quick to get to Sunday morning. Because Jesus said, every time you take this cup, remember the blood, remember I died, remember the cost, remember the sacrifice. He told us to do it because his crucifixion was personal. Paul never forgot that he was saved by a price. He didn't become a Christian as one, because it was a trendy, hip thing to do. It was intensely spiritual, personal, and real. When you insulted his Christ, he took it personally. And I'm challenged by that. I'm challenged to never forget that my best friend, Jesus, died for my sins, and I know what they are. I could name them, but he died for them, that I would be forgiven, that I would be cleansed. We need to reflect on the death of Christ. We need to, because there is something about facing the reality of things except for the resurrection. If there's no resurrection, there's no hope. Death is undefeated. Sickness is undefeated. Satan is undefeated. Sin is undefeated. There are mountains. If there's no resurrection, the cross tells us there's something terrifyingly tragic about a world without God, without Christ, without hope. And all around us as Christians, I like what Robert said. I like what Alex said. There is something significant about engaging with lost humanity because it reminds us we are not playing games. Jesus did not die as a good example. Jesus did not die as a martyr. He died because there was no other way to be a solution to the tragedy of the fall and the desperate situation this world is in. And it's good to remember that the cross was important. Death was the supreme enemy up to then. Every man, woman, and child were under the veil of death. And it says that Jesus was buried. That little phrase, he was buried. We think about Thursday night or Friday, whenever Christ was crucified. But there was also another day or two in between. How black was that day? How black was that day? Even though the disciples were told by Jesus, 3 days I'll rise, 3 times he told them, they didn't get it. It was a shock to them Sunday morning. They were surprised. In fact, even when they saw Jesus after the resurrection, some of them doubted. It wasn't in their sphere of thinking that it seemed so final, burial. It seemed so desperate, the tomb. Imagine you didn't know the end of the story. Could you imagine, I don't know if you ever read a book, do you read the last chapter first and cheat? And it takes away the impact of the rest of the book. Now we know about the resurrection, but I think it's good to reflect on the price, the cost, and the sacrifice, because at that time it was very vivid, it was very real. In life, there is a power in contrast. Andrew started with this. Do you remember all his words? To more fully see the power and the reality of the resurrection, there is something significant about contrast and the shock element. In poetry, we have contrast. I know nothing about poetry. In music, we have contrasts. In fashion, we have contrasts. You know more about that than me, Pamela. There's certain colours you can accentuate by other colours. And there is in nature, there are contrasts. There's night and day, sunset, sunrise. There are contrasts all around us. And this helps to bring out the extremity of resurrection power. That the light is more bright. The light is more incredibly attractive. It is more powerful. to see the contrast of he died for our sins and on the third day rose from the dead gives us a deeper, greater appreciation and understanding and enjoyment of the resurrection victory. On Friday, I'm not saying this to you, should, if you're fasting, you should not tell people, isn't that right? But I'm going to tell you anyway. On Friday, I was fasting up until we broke bread. And because I was really, really hungry, that little piece of bread was like a feast. The power of contrast. And I was so appreciative of that little piece of bread. And then I went home and I had a pizza and I had an Easter egg. But I tell you, I enjoyed that pizza. I enjoyed that Easter egg. I enjoy the resurrection. I enjoy the fact that he's alive. I enjoy the fact that light has overcome darkness. Day has overcome night. That the suffering is defeated. It doesn't matter what it looks like. There is life. There's eternal life. There's resurrection life and power. What's so wonderful about the resurrection? Because it contrasts so much to a shocking degree with all that preceded it. It was God's master plan. It was an extreme act. It was a radical act. The power of the resurrection. I said this last week. What's the most powerful thing you know in the universe? Is it two black holes colliding? Was it the Big Bang? Was it every atom bomb going off all at the one time? Is it death? Is it darkness? Is it sin? Is it Satan? No. It's the resurrection power of God. That is the most powerful thing in the universe. And that's who it is lives in us. And has given us life. And has given us his deliverance. It's fantastic. We need to see it. That personal resurrection life and power, that person who rose from the dead is available to us, is our friend. Suddenly I cry, my weakness is no longer an excuse. My past is not an excuse. Even death itself cannot separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. But we need to see it. I heard of a preacher who was training some of the young men how to preach. And he took them to a graveyard. And he says, right, preach to these people in the tombs. And they preached to these people in the tombs. And he said, you know something? That's what it's like when the devil has blinded people to the light of the gospel. And when people respond to the light of the gospel, it's as if they got out of the tombs, resurrected and alive. And it's a very simple message. Christ died for our sins, was buried, and he rose from the dead. And any man, woman, or child who believe that and receive it will rise from the dead, literally, spiritually, and ultimately physically. And there's nothing can stand between us and that fact. That is worth celebrating with a capital C. But it's not flippant, it's not superficial, it's incredibly real and it's incredibly deep. I finish with this. Wouldn't it be wonderful to live life? And this is the last verse. It says, therefore, brothers, be steadfast, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. Don't give up. Keep standing. Keep believing. Keep being in victory. Know that your labor is not in vain. That we could live as if Jesus died yesterday for our sins. We're so appreciative. We're so relieved. We're so, wow, I can't believe anyone would die for me. It's so personal. I mean, I'm not so sure I want to make such a big deal of a lot of things I make a big deal of. Does somebody give their life for me? But more than that, as if he rose from the dead today. He's alive. He's vibrant. He's available. And could we live as if he's coming back tomorrow? Was it good to reflect on the extreme contrast between Christ dying for our sins and the resurrection? Yes. And is the resurrection worth celebrating with a capital C? Absolutely yes. And so with those words, I want to do two last things. I would like the worship team to lead us in a song. It has to be a celebratory song, Michael, doesn't it? And then I want Paul Crawford to give us a kind of like verse 58 in his own language and his own words as a benediction and a conclusion. And then we have permission to go and enjoy and celebrate the rest of the day, because he truly is alive.